Today's episode of Still Entitled is sponsored by Autodesk Graphic. Graphic is a full-featured app for making icons, illustrations, UI and UX, or anything else you need out of a professional vector design app. Open, edit, and save raster or vector images, layered Photoshop or Illustrator files, CSS, SVG, PDF, and just about any other file format you can think of. You can open an AI file and export a clean CSS code or a web-ready SVG with just a few clicks. It's available on your Mac, phone, and iPad, so you can design without compromise on the go. It's the vector design app you've been waiting for your iPad Pro and Apple Pencil. Visit graphic.com to learn more about Autodesk Graphic or find it in the App Store.
I'm still kind of freaking out about the footage of your vocal cords that you showed me. Well,
you want to see it again?
No.
Norm, did you see it?
I abstain.
I think it's good for you.
It is really. It's like something right out of Alien. It's terrifying. It is. Will had a camera stuck down his throat, and they filmed him humming and breathing.
They
and
use the same camera for the other way?
No. That one bends more. This one. Okay. This one is literally. So this one. This one's
when
a
you get
rod.
A certain age, they shove cameras down both ends.
Norm.
No, usually it's just a finger or maybe two.
This is what it was like to hang out with Norm when he was 10.
Welcome.
Go ahead.
Welcome to Still Entitled, the Adam Savage Project.
I'm an adult.
I'm Will. He's an adult.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm. It's nice to be back.
It is really nice to be back.
It is good to be back, yeah. I mean, those other people were okay, I guess, but...
I just got back. Look, this is somewhat time shifted, as many of our podcasts tend to be.
We'll call this a part two.
This is a part two.
Yeah.
I just got back from the Emmys, or as we affectionately call it, the Schmemmys, which is officially known as the Creative Arts Emmys, which this year has had its 88 categories split up between 2 days on Saturday and Sunday at the Microsoft, formerly the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles.
Nokia?
At the Lowe's. The big one.
Yeah.
The one where the Oscars are.
It's the one where you had a show.
It's the one where, I've played that hall a couple times.
No, the Oscars are at Kodak Theater. That's on Highland, which is a tiny, tiny little theater. It's where Oculus Connect was last year.
Yes.
But it was, the Schmemmys were really fun. Once again, we were almost the last category. And once again, for the eighth time in a row, we lost.
Aww. Is that a record?
Like, No. Antiques Roadshow. So my good friend Sam Farrell, who's one of the EPs on Antiques Roadshow, he and I have a yearly commiseration drink at the Governor's Ball. And Sam, Antiques Roadshow itself has been nominated 14 times, and Sam has personally lost 10 times.
Mm.
That means he's won 4 times, though.
No. He's only been the EP for... So look, this is awkward. Our category, which is structured reality, which is in and of itself a hilarious philosophical concept. Was Antiques Roadshow, Mythbusters, Diners, Drives, and Guy Fieri, Undercover Boss, Celebrity Lip Sync Battle, and Shark Tank.
I'm sorry, Adam. I was rooting for Celebrity Lip Sync.
Yeah, Celebrity Lip Sync Battle's pretty good.
All of those were. So this is. I've been telling people for weeks that that's who we were going to lose to.
Right.
I was like, we're going to lose to Celebrity Lip Sync Battle, and everyone says the same thing. Oh, but I love that show.
It's pretty good.
I wouldn't have minded losing to Celebrity Lip Sync Battle, but whatever network it is that shows Shark Tank, they made a big campaign and Shark Tank won.
So as somebody who has gone and done, let's say, something like 60 pitches in the last year, mostly unsuccessfully, Shark Tank is farcical. Like, it is as far from reality
in terms of how you're pitching something
as anything I've ever seen.
Look, I've met the hosts of Shark Tank. They're nice people. They shoot a whole season in 17 days. More power to them. But losing to them 4 times in a row, especially for our final season of Mythbusters, we were sad. My crew was sad. Mm. That's mostly what I wanted to see. Like, most of the producers, right, so they nominate all the producers for the episode who were credited, and the ones who were in L.A. with me, most of them started out as runners and interns on our show. So it was a real farm team. So I got to watch these guys grow from newbies into one of the best production teams in television. And that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see those guys get rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't have minded a gold statue. So
Anyway.
The fact is 8 times we've gotten really good at it. We went to the Governor's Ball and had a fantastic time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good party. It's the last it dance, is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, completely. You know, until the next show, hopefully. But we saw there were some very funny, very funny bits. There was one the weirdest loss of the evening, the most bizarre, was carpool karaoke beating Beyonce's Lemonade.
A special variety variety special. Yeah.
This is literally like the Simpsons joke.
Right.
Where the Simpsons won best new rap artist for their vocal that's insane.
Yeah, it's totally insane.
Carpool karaoke is pretty
very
good.
Fun. Yeah, totally enjoyable. But Lemonade is a cultural phenomenon.
Why is it
and
in
lost
the,
production design?
Yeah. Why are they in the same category?
Awards
119 are done. Categories. They couldn't add any more.
Our structured reality program included, as far as I can tell, among the 6 entrants, 6 genres of television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a thing where there's like 19 different makeup effects. And I've bellyached about this every year. There's, umpteen makeup categories, which there should be because there's lots of different kinds of makeup and 2 reality program categories.
Yeah, and that's only
3. There's competition reality, structured and unstructured reality.
And that was only a recent change.
Yes. The structured unstructured was only implemented last year.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow. So, anyway, that's enough of my belly aching. I don't really care because I got to walk the red carpet again. I got to see friends like Aisha Tyler and Janet Varney and Kristen Schaal on the carpet. Everyone looked amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
My crew.
What were you wearing, Adam?
I was wearing a beautiful suit by Brooklyn Tailors, which is a sort of a semi-tux. It was in a wonderful, very slightly blue with tuxedo lapels, but slightly more casual than a tux. My Mrs. Don't Try This picked it out for me last year, and it's my new favorite suit.
I saw a picture from her Instagram or Facebook or something.
Nice
you guys
hat,
look
too.
Lovely.
Ah, thank you.
You were wearing your boater?
That's a genuine Borsellino that I picked up in Santa Monica a couple of weeks ago. Did you just roll your eyes?
I did
me?
A little bit with the Borsellino, I'll be honest.
For those of you listening, yeah.
I was like,
Will was not prepared for this level of detail.
I was kind of joking with my joke question, and I'm like, this is impressive. You were prepared.
And proud.
The blue suit was awesome. It looked really good. I don't remember what we're going to talk about next. So
we were going to go
Norm's
backwards
Arctic.
In time.
I want to hear about.
So this is kind of part 2 of our catch up.
How many polar bears did you wrestle?
A 0.
Why not?
I wrestled.
So last podcast we talked about my road trip.
Yes.
While I was on that road trip, Norm and Joey went to the Arctic.
Yeah, the high Arctic. This has been a trip that we'd known about for about 6 months, and we only announced it about a couple weeks before the actual trip itself. Mm-hmm. There's a company called Quark Expeditions, and they're effectively like a high-end cruise company, but instead of these 500-person, 1,000-person massive cruise ships, they take working ships and convert them with a little nicer amenities. And so in this case, it was a retired Russian icebreaker.
Wow.
The Kapitan Klebnikov. And
say that again?
Kapitan Klebnikov.
Wow.
Yeah. It took
you
me
had
a while.
Time to get that
Oh,
right.
I did. I had 2 weeks. Day one, if you watch the videos, I'm like, Kapitan Klebnikov? And we were invited by Colonel Chris Hadfield and his team. So Chris, he's a friend of the site. We've done projects with him. Mm-hmm. He and his son, Evan, do a show every year called Generator. And Adam,
I'm going to go do it up in Toronto in November.
November 12th. Awesome. If you're in Toronto, you can see Adam. And we're actually thinking about going as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's like their stage show. Like we do a stage show. Last year, from all reports, it was amazing. A lot of world-changing people there. And
Chris invites you to do something.
Yeah.
You want to go
do it. If an astronaut calls,
right.
Pick up the phone.
Yeah. So Joey and I are not, curing cancer or, changing the world that way. But what he wanted to do for this particular trip, they called it Generator Arctic, is get videographers, photographers, and creative types on the ship to document this trip in our own way.
People who are good at telling stories.
What a cool...
Yeah, it was a really good concept because what we found out is that most of the people on the ship, they are scientists and they're expedition leaders who are there doing their research. It's a very expensive trip. Mm-hmm. So most of the people there are the retirees, kind of like a bucket list type trip. You know, go to Antarctic, go to Georgia, South Georgia, go to the Arctic. And they have a perspective, and many of them are excellent photographers and have seen the world, but they don't have the same audience, and they, you know, it's a very exclusive trip.
Right. They don't have the science-ish background necessarily.
Or just, it's going up to the Arctic is a rare thing, right, to experience that. And so because we have our YouTube channel and we have an audience, you know, we want to share what it means, what this beautiful place means to us with the rest of the world. So we filmed a lot, and it was just a great time.
So that's the informational. Was it altering? Was it mind-blowing?
It was mind-blowing. I'll say, when you go on these trips, you want to see wildlife, and we did see a fair bit of wildlife. We had a very close encounter with a polar bear.
Oh, shit. Like a scary close?
No. We were on the ship, and it was, I think they said, the closest a polar bear has gotten to that ship in 10 years, which less than 50 feet from the ship.
Was he curious
was
about the ship?
On a piece of ice,
very
or was it
curious.
Swimming?
It was, it was walking around on a large ice sheet hunting. We saw it hunt for seals. There's a whole non-disturbance policy, so everyone would be very
quiet.
Don't
throw a drone in the air and buzz him.
Oh, definitely don't throw drones. We had drones. Don't throw food at it, obviously. But we, in that moment, we just wanted to see it kill a seal.
You wanted to watch the cruelty of nature play itself out for your enjoyment.
Like, I used to be kind of okay. I used to think seals were really cute and had problems with, you know, orcas or whatever was would eat polar bears, whatever would eat seals. And then I watched March of the Penguins and realized that the seals just camped the penguin hole in the ice. Mm-hmm. And the penguins are way cuter than the seals, so... You know,
and then
the
polar bears
get what they deserve.
Just camp the seal holes in the ice.
Well, and
that's
circle of life.
And if you read about the Shackleton expedition, you learn about the leopard seal, which is about one of the scariest things you could imagine. It's a seal with a bunch of razor sharp teeth, and they're super aggressive.
Great.
Oh yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah. And apparently delicious.
Well, I mean, all that fat's got to
go
somewhere.
Seal blubber was not delicious.
Oh really?
Did you eat seal?
You eat a little bit of seal blubber, a little bit of narwhal skin. Narwhals
are a real thing that
people hunt.
You ate a unicorn?
It's a tusk.
Well, I mean, but
the unicorn of the sea had a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually a modified tooth.
Actually.
We went to towns where the people there, it was narwhal hunting season.
Oh,
so
wow.
They were out on their boats and they with spears going to hunt narwhal.
No way!
And time to narwhal on those narwhals.
There was one guy who came back with a giant bag.
I'm leaving.
No, sorry, that was terrible.
I was hanging out with comedians all weekend.
Here's raw narwhal fin. Would you like a piece?
Yes, please.
A knife, cut it off, take a bite. It's very tough.
What did it taste like?
It's rubbery. The skin was
chicken?
Very rubbery.
Rubbery.
Yeah.
Was the flavor great. Is?
No flavor.
No flavor. Just something's
very
like,
cold.
It's like Arctic chewing gum.
It's like cellulite, eating cellulite.
I don't know what eating cellulite is like.
Almost got him. Almost.
But to answer your question, like it was life changing. There are moments when you're sitting there near the end of the trip, at the end of 18 days, when you can immerse in that environment. And we went from Greenland to the Canadian High Arctic, up through Hell Gate and up to the Tanqueray Fjord. You're sitting there, and one of the last places we stopped at was a grave site for this expedition, Franklin's expedition, and there were these grave markers with a plaque. You got to read the plaque, and completely empty. And you're looking around all around you, and it's just sunset, completely empty, except for the people with you on these boats, and it's just very, very peaceful, top of the world, one of the most peaceful times. And it was near the end of the trip. Everyone's just sitting down, just quiet, and having a moment of silence in the high Arctic is life-changing.
You know, I just read this long, wonderful blog post by a guy who was hired to fly. He was hired to fly a private plane from Sweden to San Diego.
That's a long way.
And you do this hop. You go Sweden to Iceland, Iceland to Greenland, Greenland to Canada, and then down. There's this, as he was doing the map, you notice that he gets to Hudson Bay and goes south instead of east or south. And it's because Hudson Bay up there, I didn't realize how big things are up there. Going right across Hudson Bay would be a wider stretch than either of the ocean crossings from Sweden.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's that big. And it's that like, and they would have challenges with each other as to who can spot a human settlement. And they would go hours and hours and hours and hours in a plane, not seeing any sign of human habitation.
I have to imagine like I've been to Alaska before, but the more settled like Anchorage and parts south,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Even there, even on the drive from Alaska, from Anchorage to Seward, which is one of the more trafficked roads in Alaska, you felt alone in a way that I've never felt, even in like the most desolate parts of the continental U.S.
Wow. Well, you know, one of the things they figured out when they first mapped the U.S. with GPS and the full mapping was that there's no spot in the contiguous United States, not including Alaska, where you are more than 25 miles from a road.
Mm.
That I mean, yeah. And 25 miles is a long day, but you can walk 25 miles in a day.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're talking about places where you can walk for weeks.
You could absolutely walk for weeks and not see another person. Also,
was the ship going all night long every time you were going to get to the next place?
Yeah, at night. And we were very lucky. The sea was very calm for most of the way.
Did you take Dramamine or anything?
I didn't need to. I'm totally good.
Okay.
I think virtual reality has really helped.
Yeah,
in that
motion, your motion sickness, I would see.
But it was also an icebreaker.
Right.
So you would, I mean, coming from California, when the ship would rock and it would feel like an earthquake, and I just got desensitized to running over ice.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you were smashing through ice.
Smashing through ice.
Like through sheets? Or through,
yeah,
wow.
Not icebergs. You don't crash into icebergs.
No, right.
But big, massive ice sheets where if you went outside and you see a mile to the left, mile to the forward, mile to the right, starboard port side, it was all ice.
And then behind you?
Behind you is the crack.
No
way. Wow.
That's
you're just
amazing.
Going through ice.
Oh, I assumed it was all like you were through the melty parts.
No, I mean,
thanks,
part of it because
warming.
It was a you use a lot of fuel. It's a diesel. Yeah. Most of the trip, the money was for the fuel. It's a weight of the ship. And we learn about how icebreakers work, but it's just the weight of the ship and the shape of the front of the ship.
Of the prow.
Yeah, is just crushing the ice.
Wow.
Going above the ice and then pushing down on it and then cracking it. And sometimes
so
you'd have
ships moving like this,
but it's in one fluid motion, so
wow.
It's just like nonstop weight of the ship.
Fascinating.
24,000 horsepower pushing down the ice.
24,000 horsepower.
And then sometimes you're
still trying to work away. They're still trying to figure out a way to get that engine under the hood of a GT.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you'd back
holy
up.
Holy cow!
And then hit
they
it again.
Take another run at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It would feel awesome.
Amazing.
The interesting pop culture feeling, and I think this is again a perspective that only because they brought nerds like us there, is the whole time it was Star Trek in my head.
Like, oh, you're on the voyages.
I was just imagining, like I experienced the trip through the lens of a science fiction and Star Trek fan.
Yeah,
and so it was just like I imagined myself living on a starship.
So, you had away missions. You had
day trips out, going on these Zodiac.
Did you get to
boats.
Go on the bridge.
Yeah, well, open bridge.
Open bridge.
Open bridge.
Wow. How were your accommodations? Did you have a little tiny room?
It was a small room. Joey and I shared a room. They're all doubles or triples.
You shared a room.
We shared a room. It was fine. We had our own bathroom.
Did you get lonely at night, Norm?
We all stayed up late. Open bar.
Oh, there's a bar on the Russian ship?
There's a bar.
Is this an actual Russian ship?
Beer is considered non-alcoholic. Right?
Well,
oh,
right. I mean, I think the thing that surprised us most was because it was a working ship that was converted to be kind of like a cruise. The amenities were fantastic.
Oh, nice.
So it wasn't just like eating, you know, sludge every day. There was a fancy meals every day.
So it's a decommissioned military icebreaker, not an active military icebreaker.
Not an active government icebreaker.
Okay.
Yeah, at least from the Russian government and the Russian crew, Russian captain.
Mm-hmm.
But the rooms were converted. We had like fancy meals, not buffets, but like we had like, you know, we had fish or lamb and duck, you know, and
amazing.
There was an Austrian pastry chef who made desserts for lunch and dinner every day.
Sounds
holy
like
cow.
You really suffered.
Yeah, we didn't suffer at all.
Try my pieces.
So, do you have a like shower and toilet inside
yeah,
of your
yeah,
cabin, or
yeah.
do you have to go out?
No, no,
to
we had shower, okay. shower and bathroom.
Norman,
it was
okay. Joey were sponge bathing.
Yeah, yeah. No sponging. There was no sponging.
Did
spooning to stay warm?
So. People usually go on these trips are, you know, rich people, old people, not very young people. I think the youngest person, you know, one person in their 30s, I think, aside from our group, two people in their 30s, they usually do not interact a lot with the crew,
mm-hmm.
like with the help, the service. So the people working the ship, we made friends with them and we got to hang out with the Russians.
That's where
late
all the cool
night.
That's where you learned all the cool stuff.
All the cool stuff is, and go actually in the bowels of the ship, hang out in engineering rooms.
Dude,
that's really cool.
And they were so happy. They threw a disco party for us in the gym the last night because they said they would never have this type of experience again. You know, we traded them whiskey because they weren't allowed to drink, you know, for access. And it was
nice.
That was the best part.
That's just fabulous. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's really fabulous.
So you're going to talk about this more.
Yeah.
And you're gonna,
this is only a test.
There's going
to
be
filmed
a bunch
of stuff. Yeah, we're doing these short daily videos, daily updates to watch our slow descent into madness. It's on the site starting today. And then we've shot a bunch of stuff with Chris and about the whole trip.
When you signed on for this trip, did they have the contingency for if you get locked in the ice, or is that just a thing that couldn't have happened at this time of year with this kind of ship?
Yeah, no, this ship would not get trapped. I mean, you could break a propeller, but then you have three massive propeller, three propellers. If you even broke one blade, they have replacement blades on board, and
so they'd have to get down and scuba in and put a new blade on.
They used to do that. They used to have a dedicated 5-person scuba team in
full dry
basically.
Suits. Yeah.
And a lift, the elevator, basically, they sink down. But now that's too expensive. So you can get by with two propellers and go to port and then spend 2 weeks there replacing a blade.
Wow.
But we got to see the massive, 4-ton blades.
Sitting in storage.
Sitting in storage.
Or brass or something?
I think steel.
I think they're bronze.
I'm not sure. It was rugged.
I ended up with a giant chunk of a boat propeller shaft made out of bronze from one of the Mythbusters shoots. We blew it up.
And then, being with Chris Hatfield, was amazing. Like they would go on. We would go on excursions, hikes, and they would be split into three groups: the tough hiking group, the medium Thule hiking group, and the small the easier hanging out by the beach.
Chris always the tough hiking.
Of course, group. He was up every morning, super early. The tough hiking group, and everyone wanted. And then at some point, we're like, let's just go on the tough hiking group with him. And
how was it?
It was nice to walk up, hike in the snow, and literally walk in the footsteps of an astronaut.
I assume you documented the gear that you guys brought to both document and to survive and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I literally want to hear about this entire thing. It sounds like the coolest thing ever.
That's so exciting, man.
It was, there's parts of it that are so cold, extremely cold. My wife did not allow me to do this, but people did the polar plunge. Joey did the polar plunge, which is to go swimming.
Oh, wow.
In -2 degrees. Water.
2 degrees?
-2.
-2.
Oh, right. -2 Celsius or Fahrenheit? It must be
Celsius. Yeah, Celsius. Right
below. -2 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, no, it's -2 because it's
zero
salt
is salt water.
Salt
freezes.
Water.
Yeah.
Exactly. So a bunch of people the last couple days took off their clothes and jumped into.
Did Joey jump in naked?
No. Yeah,
okay.
Swim trunks.
Okay.
But when you immediately.
I mean, the world's not ready.
I would not put that past a Femelli. If everybody's doing it,
it looks
painful. He's game.
Bodies go numb in seconds.
Oh yeah, and,
were you like, was he standing on ice when he did that?
No. It was up from the beach. You run into the water.
Oh, and then just run back out. Okay,
amazing, terrifying. Is there a giant hot tub there to spray you down with, or they just pour hot tea on you?
You get hot coffee. We had the hot packs. There's a sauna on the ship,
of course.
But only the Russians really use the sauna.
Well, I mean, the Russian steam baths with the birch branches and all that—that's a thing.
Unless someone comes to kill you when you're naked in the sauna, and then you've got to.
You have to spin the towel up and wet it.
I watched Eastern Promises over the.
Oh,
you
did. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Knife fights in the.
Dude,
the
naked knife fights. One of the most intense things I've ever seen.
You know what they say about knife fights? You fight with a knife, you're going to get cut.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah.
Norm, that sounds totally amazing. I'm really jealous.
Just skimming the surface. I think it's still one of those trips. It takes a while to digest it all.
Yeah, I imagine.
And there's a reacclimation period coming back. No internet. The entire time,
you're
18
uploading
days.
Stuff once a day or something by satellite.
I paid $30 for a satellite webmail account where you'd get 200 kilobytes.
Wow!
Allocated a day, so I would only use that in case of emergencies. And I sent two daily emails back home, and at the end of the day, and I had to make explicit instructions: do not reply to this email,
right?
Because if you reply, you include the email.
Oh, that
and
counts.
It takes up. And so write a new email and keep it text. And at the end of the day, I would look and say, okay, I have 112K left. I'm going to go into Photoshop, take one of the photos, compress it down to 80K, and send one photo home every day.
Wow.
What? I have to imagine for somebody like you who is You are traditionally the most connected person I know.
Yeah, it took a time. It took
like
a while.
You were a little broken.
Yeah, it was. At some point, I think like 12 days in.
12 days in.
Like, okay, yeah. I guess there's no point. Like, there's a local intranet where like I get my hit. It's like being on an airplane where you have no internet,
you get the
but you have the fake what like the local right. website. Right. Just clicking refresh.
AOL
daily
groups.
Updates. Yeah.
Did you feel like did it spawn some inner creativity that you didn't anticipate or didn't know you had?
Did you do
writing or take more photos?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It was also really humbling to be with a really amazing group of artists.
Mm-hmm.
So musicians and amazing photographers and videographers, some YouTubers who just do incredible work, and to watch them work was really, really inspiring. It's really
a
kick in the pants, like get stuff done. Late at night, one of the guys there, a musician named Danny Michelle, a friend of Chris's, they would bring out their guitars just at like 11
that's
p.m.
Awesome.
And a bottle of whiskey and play guitar in the lounge.
I love
what
a dedicated musician Chris really is. That's awesome.
Yeah, and sing songs while the sun was still setting at 1 a.m. and the ice is rolling by. Like, those are the kind of nice moments that...
That's awesome.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
18 days.
18 days, yeah. Of course, like, the moment... You get back to like the last day, Resolute. There was you could loosely call it a hotel, but they had Wi-Fi. And then people were saying, "Oh, I'm not going to sign on. I'm waiting till I get back to Canada. I'm back to get to Ottawa." And the moment we got there and saw the Wi-Fi, everyone, all 100 people from that ship, heads on their iPads and their Wi-Fi. And I looked at my messages and 3,000 emails. Just
oh my gosh,
that's not good. That's not what you want.
I met I believe the northernmost tested fan.
Really?
At Eureka Station.
If you're more north than Eureka Station in Greenland.
That's,
weather station.
I want to tell you that traveling around the country, now most of the time what people come up and say is, "I love the tested videos,
man.
Yeah. It's just everywhere. It's so satisfying. I love hearing that."
I stopped in a gas station in Endurance, California, I think, just north of Weed.
Yeah.
Somebody there was like, "Hey, are you from Tested?" I met a guy at the 12th and Hawthorne cart pods in Portland who came out from behind the kitchen and in one of the cart pods and was like, "Hey, I absolutely love what you guys do. Please tell Adam and Norm that you guys are awesome."
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like everywhere you go now.
And now the
amazing.
Northernmost is?
Northernmost.
Eureka
Station.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're further north, let us know.
Yeah, we want to hear about it. Yeah. But, don't send a picture larger than 80K if you will.
If you're bandwidth constrained.
So I kind of feel like that's a good place to wrap it up this week.
Absolutely. Welcome back, Norm.
Yeah, welcome back, Norm.
You.
Glad
yeah.
you made it back with all
welcome
your
back,
digits.
Everyone.
A bunch of great trips.
What's going on? Oh, this is next week for Tested, so you probably don't know.
I don't know.
It's too soon to ask.
It's like I came back like, what? Reacclimation period.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Autodesk Graphic for sponsoring today's episode. Graphic is a full-featured app for making icons, illustrations, UI and UX, or anything else you'd need out of a professional vector design app. It's available for your Mac, phone, and iPad, so you can design without compromise on the go. It's the vector design app you've been waiting for your iPad Pro and Apple Pencil. Visit graphic.com to learn more about Autodesk Graphic, or just find it in the App Store. We'll see you next week.